You're listening to the Rookie Big Board Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 21 of the Devy Big Board, part of the Rookie Big Board Network. I am your host, Skip Newton, and with me is my co-host, the man behind the chair at the Devy Summit, producing everything in an expert fashion, your favorite and mine, Dwight Peebles. Dwight, how you doing?
Good, man. I'm good. It was actually a lot of fun to do that. It's something that when it was asked to do, I'm like, I've never done it before. And I kind of just dove headfirst into it. Probably did a little more than I needed to do, but it was fun to do, man. It was good to be part of such a big thing. And we raised some money for a good cause. So that's all that matters, man.
Yeah, you nailed it. And of course, hats off to our guys, Felix and Brandon and Matt Hicks. Awesome podcast. All of our guests and the other co-hosts, it was a fantastic time. I was glad to be a part of it. Before we get into today's topic, I want to make sure you know you can gain access to Rookie Big Board premium content at patreon.com/theffeducator. This includes Dynasty rankings, Devy rankings, access to our engaging and active Discord channel, and the ability to ask us for personalized advice on trades, your roster, and more. Be sure to check it out for the low price of, I believe it's just $3 a month. And if you missed last week's episode, we did rounds 1 and 2 of a mock draft. Today, we're going to go on to rounds 3 and 4. And I'm going to recap really quick last week's episode and kind of highlight, maybe risers and fallers, just to put a little twist on it or kind of give that value to it like we like to do. But really quick, of course, you can go back and listen to that. It's not that long, but it's a Superflex tight end premium draft. And Dwight took, of course, Bijan Robinson first, followed by C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Jahmyr Gibbs, Travion Henderson, and Jackson Smith and Jigba at 6, first wide receiver off the board. Then Kayshon Boutte, Zach Evans, Sean Tucker, Tank Bigsby went 10. So he's one of those guys whose value seems to be falling a bit, but I still nabbed him at the 110. Dwight took Quinn Ewers, and I finished out round 1 with Michael Mayer, the tight end out of Notre Dame. And in round 2, Caleb Williams went first, then Jordan Addison criminally falls to 2.02. I still don't know why he continues to fall to early second round, but I think that is an enormous steal. The guy is an awesome wide receiver.
Yeah, me too.
Will Shipley, Xavier Worthy, Nick Singleton, Quentin Johnston, rounding out at pick 18. And then finally, at the end of round 2, a couple of risers here by Dwight. Marvin Harrison Jr., then I took Raheem Sanders, and then Anthony Richardson, probably one of the biggest risers in the Devy space, the quarterback from Florida, and then finished up with Brock Bowers, the tight end from Georgia, Jackson Dart, and Branson Robinson, the incoming freshman running back at Georgia. So now we go to rounds 3 and 4, and I think these will probably be a little less chalky, so we can talk about, you know, why we made our picks and then maybe highlight if we think they're a riser or a faller and why that might be happening. So Dwight, kick us off with the 301 pick 25.
Right. It definitely felt like this is where the draft started. You know, like we had a Google Doc that we went back and forth, and I felt like I was kind of hanging on every word, you know, like hanging on, waiting for you to pick just to see which direction you would go, because I didn't know which direction I was going to go. And there were times that I think I switched my pick several times before I gave you the go ahead. And it was really tough. There was a lot of picks where I was like, hopefully it's one of these four guys. And then you wouldn't pick any of the other three guys. And then I still didn't pick one of those guys anyways. So there was a lot of picks where I did that. I'm like, it's either this or this or this. And then you wouldn't pick any of them. And I still wouldn't pick them for the next pick. So there's a lot of directions you can go. A lot of these guys are more, I don't know if you want to call them flyers, but I guess probably more of the guys that are not as locked in. So a guy that I feel like is locked in, though, and then I think should probably go in the first couple rounds, is Josh Downs, wide receiver from North Carolina. I think we're going to fall into another situation where Jordan Addison may have made Kenny Pickett a little bit better than Kenny Pickett is, and I think one could maybe say the same for Josh Downs and Sam Howell as well. Downs made a lot of plays downfield. Anyways, sorry, I couldn't resist. He makes plays downfield, though, seriously, because he's a smaller guy that will probably play a lot in the slot, but has the dynamic ability after the catch to make, you know, he made huge play after huge play, and oftentimes it was just on a slant, although he would break free, you know, kind of like Tyreek would do, and he would you know, just kind of wander around and break free. And he's really smart and knows how to get open. So he's a guy that I think is probably undervalued here at 301. And I was really happy to start off the third round with him.
Yeah, I think this is kind of similar to what I said about Jordan Addison, in that he criminally falls to, you know, early in the second round. Same thing with Downs early in the third round. That that just shouldn't happen. I mean, I don't know what more people need to see. The guy is a very good receiver, and his way of beating cornerbacks, I think, easily will translate to the NFL. I mean, that's what the NFL teams are looking for, these guys that just get open and create space, and he is that guy. So I like the pick there. My next pick at 302 is Jadon Blue, the running back at Texas. He's an incoming freshman, so 2025 eligible. And he is one of, in my opinion, four tier one running backs coming in this class. And I think it really is an ideal situation for him. He doesn't need to show out his freshman year because he's got Bijan Robinson on the team. But my guess is they're going to give him some time to get him acclimated to the college game. And he's got some talent around him. And Jadon Blue is just a awesome talent. And I love really everything that he brings to the team and to the position. He's got a skill set that I think is going to make him successful as soon as he gets that opportunity. You know, acceleration, speed, he changes direction quickly, he can break tackles. So all of that stuff. And I love him here at 302.
Right. I was fighting years ago, 2025, and I was surprised that you did, because I feel like whenever we've done these, you've been stronger with the 2023 and 2024 guys. And I've always been the one who tries to overvalue the 25. So I was kind of surprised that you took him here. I'm going to go another wide receiver. I'll go Jermaine Burton, wide receiver from Alabama. I think he's another guy who's, I don't think he's going to fall in the third round many times. If you do this 100 times, I bet he doesn't fall into the third round 90 of them. I mean, he's just a guy who's gaining a lot of traction. Obviously, he's going to put up the numbers this year in Alabama. He's going to be Bryce Young's 1A. You know, there may be a 1B somewhere in there between JoJo, Ja'Cory, Harrell. You know, there could be. We don't really ever know who's going to step up. But if anybody's going to see a meteoric rise this year amongst that group, it's Jermaine Burton, a la what Jameson Williams did last year. So he's got almost the same skill set. You know, maybe not as fast as Williams was, but definitely a guy that can stretch the field, taller guy, get great hands, can push the ball down the field. So Burton at 303 was a pretty easy one for me, and so easy that you try to take him again later. So
yeah, he shouldn't have made it later. So thank you for pointing that out. I loved the pick. I think he has every opportunity to be the main guy at Alabama. And I think he wasn't maybe as high on people's radars because Georgia doesn't, you know, throw a lot to their wide receivers. They don't have a great passing game. And so great talents like Burton can kind of get forgotten and hidden. And that's why I think going to Alabama was just an awesome decision by him to make that.
You say that Stetson Bennett is not a good quarterback? Oh my gosh. Hot take. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Right. Not from a Debbie perspective. All right. My next guy, and I honestly think if I could redo this, I would make a different pick, and I'll get to that after your next pick. But I took Donovan Edwards, the sophomore running back at Michigan, and I really like Donovan Edwards. I think some people are a little bit more down on him. I still think he's a really good talent. I think he's going to split that role there with Blake Corum, but I like his speed. I think he can make guys miss and can break tackles. He's got pretty good balance. I like his vision, and I think he's already proven to be a good receiver, and he can continue to build on that. So really like Edwards. So I'm taking him at pick 28. Who do you have next?
Yeah, that's a sweet spot for Edwards. I can't figure out what to do. I think it's probably my hatred for Michigan that causes me to get clouded judgment on some of these players, but I think that was a good point for him right there. The same place, same as it is a good spot for this next pick. A guy that I'm still not 100% sold on. That's why he fell to the third round for me. It's Braylon Allen, from the running back from Wisconsin. He is a converted linebacker, so he's still learning the game. That's one thing you have to remember when you watch his tape. There is definitely a plant your foot, get upfield, run people over. You know, there's definitely some of that in his game. That Wisconsin line also allows their backs to be 3 yards downfield before they're touched often. So it's just one of those things. Those hosses they have on the offensive line up there are always really, really good run blockers. So. But there is a lot to like. I do like that size. I didn't write it down, but I think he's 6 foot 225 ish. He's a big guy. But I mean, he's being a converted linebacker. He's got the physical makeup of being a guy that can really thump. And I want to see him, you know, try to catch some passes. He doesn't have to catch 50 of them. You know, he could catch 10 or 15. I just want to see him do that. You know, Wisconsin's never been the type of offense to feature any sort of passing at all. So, I mean, if he could catch, you know, 10, 15, just show that he could do it. I would like to see that. But he's a guy that has the potential to be a big riser at this point. And I'm not out on him yet, but I'm not totally in on him yet. So he falls to the third for me as a guy that could potentially be. And he's a 2024 guy. So.
Yeah, you and I have very similar feelings on Braylon Allen, and that's exactly why he fell to pick 29. And this is the point I was going to make earlier, in that in a real Devy draft, you know, with 12 people instead of just the two of us going back and forth, there's no way he makes it this far. No. Every draft I've been in, he's going first round.
Yeah.
And so if you're listening to this and you got a draft coming up, you're not going to get Braylon Allen this late. And because of that, I should have even taken him, you know, probably in the middle of the second round, just to say, like, if for some reason he does fall that far, even if you don't really like him, because of where his value is and because he plays for Wisconsin, who, like you said, is going to give him 3 yards before contact, you draft him and then just plan to flip him during the season as his value continues to grow. I don't think it's going to go down any. I mean, he's going to be successful. So, you know, you can do that as well when you're picking these guys. It's not just the guys that you think are going to get to the NFL and end up giving you points on your dynasty team. I think their value is going to either maintain as high as it is right now or get better. And I'm going to flip them later and get another piece that I prefer. So,
yeah, there's a perfect world, I think, where you could, if you get somebody like Braylon Allen and he starts off and he ends up with 1,500 yards, you can flip him for Jadon Blue, you know, or, you know, one of these freshman guys who are clearly more talented, but, you know, haven't shown anything yet. So like you said, there's his value is only going to increase. So or get a vet, you know, get a vet for your playoff run. You know, there's it gives you a lot of chips, a lot of options there because he's going to rush for 1,500 yards this year. I mean,
yeah, exactly. I mean, the only way he doesn't is if he gets hurt. All right, the next guy is Emeka Egbuka, wide receiver, Ohio State, also eligible in 2024. He was the number one overall receiver a year ago and is fast. He can basically pull away from nearly everybody. Great yards after the catch. He was returning kicks very successfully. He's dynamic with the ball in his hand, and there is opportunity galore at Ohio State. You've got Jackson Smith and Jigba, obviously the clear number one coming back. But then after that, it's guys that we're expecting to fill the roles of Wilson and Olave. And, you know, we talked about Marvin Harrison last week, and then this is the next guy, Emeka Egbuka. I think both these guys have a chance to be outstanding. And we've already seen that CJ Stroud and that offense can support three wide receivers. And just because we really like the other two doesn't mean that this guy isn't also good. I mean, we've seen this with Alabama. We've seen this with LSU, and now we're seeing it with Ohio State. There can be multiple first round picks at the same college at the same position. So, you know, don't worry about it. I think he showed enough where the talent is there and he's going to get the opportunity. I love Egbuka. And if I can get him at pick 30 overall, I'm ecstatic about that.
Yep. I love that there, man. So I went with another wide receiver as well. That was the theme of this round for me. Super Mario Williams from USC. I do think that he's a guy that could possibly see a little bit of a drop this year in his value because of Jordan Addison's in town. You know, there's this new offense. USC is building up a crazy powerful offense. And we're going to see if he can, if they can throw around the ball as much as Ohio State, and they're going to need to support all the mouths they have there. I like Barton Simmons from 24/7 compared Mario Williams to Elijah Moore. And I really like that as far as a skill set. He's quick. He's twitchy. You know, he's got really good feet. He never gets caught from behind. Always a threat to make a big play. He's got that quickness. You know, he can come out of the slot, catch the ball, beat a couple guys, and just boom, gone. So he brings a different element than Addison does to that USC offense. But so I could see him maybe having the numbers that aren't going to appease the casual watchers. You know, if he only gets like 800 yards and 7 touchdowns, the casual Devy people are going to be like, oh, blah, blah, blah. You know, and you might see his value go a little bit. But I really like Mario's skill set, and I like that comp to Elijah Moore too. I think it's pretty good as far as his skill set. So I like Super Mario, man.
Yeah, that's a great pick. And that was one of those guys where later on in the draft, when I was trying to pick my guy, I kept seeing Mario Williams on my rankings, and it took me a while to find him on the list. Because I'm like, okay, don't do it again. You already tried to take Jermaine Burton when Dwight had grabbed him. Don't do it again. I finally found him. I was like, okay, good. Like, there's no way he lasted this long. Right. The next pick for me is quarterback Spencer Rattler, and I have him marked as a guy who's falling in value. Please, 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 if you have Spencer Rattler, do not trade him unless you get good value in return. I think people are going to be back on him when we start talking about the 2023 draft class. He has all the talent he had before, all the reasons why we loved him before. Things just didn't quite work out in Oklahoma last year, and he had an awesome quarterback behind him that when they gave it to Caleb Williams, I mean, he just took off and there was no going back. But it wasn't like he was horrendous. I mean, yeah, he had 5 yeah. interceptions, but he still completed almost 75% of his passes. And, you know, the year before it was 28-7 touchdowns, interceptions. I think people are giving up a little too soon on Rattler, and I'm willing to say that he is going to recover some of that value, and he'll be back into the first round conversation, next, February, March, when we're talking about the 2023 draft. So I like Rattler. I think you're getting good value here. It's worth a shot in the middle of the third round to take a quarterback who could be a first round draft pick.
Right. Yeah, I definitely don't fault you at all for shooting the shot there. Like you said, I want to see him answer the maturity issues and watch him lead a team. So, and if he does that, I mean, he's got all the tools. So I like that here at the end. What are we, 306, 307? I can't count that high. All right. So my next guy is Parker Washington from Penn State, who I was kind of surprised he made this far. I think he's going to be the main weapon, the main focal point of that Penn State passing offense. Sean Clifford is in his 11th season there. So we know he knows what he's doing, and he knows how to run that offense. So I like a lot. Let me see. I didn't have his size wrote down. He is 5'10", 200 pounds, pretty darn good size. I love that size. He was a former 4-star. Really good route runner. He runs very crisp, clean routes, sharp cuts. They use him deep routes, and he gets separation down the sideline, over the middle. He uses his arms. He's got good hips. Yeah, he's very quick off the line. He doesn't have like a huge breakaway speed, but you don't see him get caught from behind much either. So I really like him as a guy that has that size, the versatility that the NFL wants now. He can track the ball deep, and he can work the sideline, but he can also go over the middle. And so he just does a little bit of everything. And at this point in the draft, I think it's worth a shot. A guy that could, I mean, he could go in the first or second round next year with a really big season at Penn State. So I'll take that in the value here at Rio, whatever we're at, 7. Sorry. Pick 33.
9.
There you go. All right.
I think Sean Clifford is basically saying, I'm going to stick around until Tanner Morgan leaves the University of Minnesota, and then I'll be done. So they're going to continue to push the envelope.
And they're going to open a car dealership together too.
The 310, another guy who doesn't seem to be generating any excitement, but I still like him a lot. And that's LJ Johnson, a running back at Texas A&M. I loved his film coming in as a freshman, ton of time. And I'm not willing to give up on LJ Johnson until, this season, if he continues to do, very little, doesn't get the opportunity, then then yeah, I'm going to start to get concerned. But I just think this guy is absolutely got the skills to succeed in the NFL. I mean, he's got a verified 4.42 speed. He's plenty big at 5'10", 205, quick one cut and go. He's going to power. He can power through tackles. He's got a really good burst. I like a lot about LJ Johnson. So I'm not ready to give up on him just yet. I think this season is the one where we'll see him start to at least get enough touches to make a good evaluation on him at the NCAA level.
Right. Oh, I loved him coming out. And yeah, this is one where at this point, 3'10", you might as well, just on the sheer talent that we have seen. And then hopefully he sees the field because he's got the chance to be the man. All right. 3'11". I have Felix Sharp on my shoulder. Some days he's a little angel. Some days he's a little devil. But I mean, he's always talking to me. He's always talking to me. Dwight, Devin Brown is the top quarterback in this class. He's the man. And I watched the tape and I did like what I saw, but if Felix is good enough, if it's good enough for Felix, it's good enough for me, damn it. So I will take Felix's advice and I will take Devin Brown as the first 2025 quarterback off the, what do you call it? Market. There you go. Whatever. I'm struggling with actual words. Yeah. Boards way better than a market. Yes. We're not buying these people. That sounds creepy. So anyways, Devin Brown I had him right up there with Drew Aller, as both guys I love a lot. And he's going to Ohio State, which is turning out NFL quarterbacks like a factory. You can say what you want to say. They're maybe not the most successful yet, but they're at least getting there and getting chances. So Devin Brown is insanely talented. I love his arm. I would like to see a little bit more mobility from him, but he's a mechanically sound. He's got a really good quick release, athletic enough to, you know, to move around and make plays, but I haven't really seen the, you know, ability to run downfield. But I like he's got a crazy good arm. Maybe he throws off platform with velocity. I mean, he's got insane arm strength and he can really pop that football. So he's just got to work on decision making and his touch. But I mean, he's what, 17, 16 years old. So he's got time to do that. And I love it going to that system. And I think he's going to be the next guy there as soon as CJ walks out the door. So
yeah, that is a nice thing, is that he doesn't have to be rushed in his first season. So he can sit and learn, you know, if you're taking Devin Brown, and you absolutely should, just be patient, right? Know that you're not going to get anything as far as, you know, watching him at college yet, because that offense is so stacked, especially at quarterback and wide receiver. But don't worry, he'll get his chance, because the talent is there. Right. And I don't think you and Felix are alone in in your love for Devin Brown. I mean, I think I could have marked him as a riser. It feels like he is moving up people's lists.
Oh, definitely.
So love the pick. And to finish out the third round, I'm taking wide receiver Rakim Jarrett out of Maryland, eligible in 2024. You know, I think Jarrett is one of these guys that, because he doesn't go to the sexy school and people aren't, you know, really excited about Maryland football, people aren't talking about Rakim Jarrett, but the guy is good. I mean, he's just a smooth runner. He's got good speed, comes in at a nice size, 6 feet, 200 pounds. He can make some guys miss, has some good yak potential there. And he's producing. I mean, 62 catches for 829 yards and 5 touchdowns at Maryland. Those are really good numbers. I like that. And I think if he's at, you know, another school, maybe with a better system, better quarterback, you know, I'm not as sold on Talia as others, but you know, I think that he could do better. But you know, I think that's a solid second season, and he had enough in his first year. You know, as a freshman, he only played 4 games and he caught 17 passes for 252 and 2. That's right. Enough as a true freshman. So I like Rakim Jarrett, and I think people are sleeping on him a little bit.
Right. Oh, he is 2023 eligible too. I had to double check. Yeah, it's okay. He is 23 eligible. And I think it's funny that, and if you listen to the Devy Summit the other day, actually someone took his teammate Dante Demas almost this exact same spot. So that was kind of, what was it? Shane, wasn't it? Shane Hallam. I think he did.
That sounds right. Yeah. I think I don't remember the exact number, but I remember Demas going and being a little bit surprised he went that high.
Yeah, because I didn't have a place card ready for him. I was scrambling. I'm like, oh, wait, I didn't expect that guy to go. So anyways. So, yeah, I like that, though. I mean, the talent is definitely there. The talent is definitely there. You just want to see him put it all together. Fourth round. All right, fourth round. I went ahead and led off with the top, what I consider the top wide receiver in the 2025 class. I think it can go either way with both of these guys there. Luther Burden. I just think Luther Burden's got the chance. He's got the quickest path to day one production, and he's going to be producing this year. I mean, he already showed up in the spring game. He balled out, you know, showed everybody, hey, this is mine, that he's going to be the alpha there right off the bat. He was the third ranked player overall in the class of 2022, the number one wide receiver. And I love the size at 6'2". He's already got NFL size. He's got good weight size. He's a natural athlete. He's a track guy, basketball guy. He's played multiple sports. But he's just incredibly dangerous after the catch. He breaks tackles. He's tough. He's got really good acceleration. He's got top-end speed. You know, he doesn't have it as blazing off the line, but he hits that second gear when he gets out in the open. I think he's another guy that's got that versatility to move around. And he's still, as a route runner, he's very unpolished, but, I mean, he's just coming in. So Luther Burden's got a guy that's got incredible, incredible upside. Alan True of 24/7 compared him to Amari Cooper. I really like that as a comp too. I'm not a comp guy, but there are some comps I see and I'm like, ooh, I like that. So I really like that comp for him. So I'll take Luther Burden, 401 there.
Yep, he would be my number one wide receiver in this incoming class. Next pick, I'm going with Kendall Milton, running back out of Georgia. He's entering his third season, so he is eligible in 2023. Of course, Georgia typically has a pretty crowded backfield and they're talented. So he's been kind of fighting for touches. He's only had, you know, 7 games played in each of his first two seasons. He hasn't gotten more than 56 touches, but I think this could be the year where we at least see that number increase again to get enough of a feel. When he does touch the ball, I see all the stuff that I saw when we were watching him before he went to Georgia. I mean, he's got decent speed. He can run away from people once he gets going, but I did notice sometimes it takes him a couple steps to get going, but he's got a nice little sidestep to make guys miss with good contact balance. So I like Kendall Milton, and I'm willing to bet on him being kind of that late riser as a running back in a very deep, talented running back class. But I think he can still make it happen.
Right. I can see him doing kind of what DeAndre Swift did, you know, like he's finally given the chance and boom, you know, like there he goes. So you made me do it. 403. I feel like I can't go more than one or two episodes without talking about Tyler Buckner from Notre Dame. I just think he's getting the chance this year after insane college production or insane high school production, a guy that can run. I mean, he can really move and he can move he can pass on the run. He improvises, makes plays. I mean, he didn't get to play his senior year. He didn't get to play much last year. So he's got an uphill climb, but he should be the starter at Notre Dame this year. If he's not, I'm going to literally shit a chicken. But I love his arm. I love the moxie, the way he plays the game. But I think his mobility and ability to improvise on the run is what makes him incredibly dangerous. And it's something that, I mean, Notre Dame has never really had. They've never had a mobile quarterback like that can make plays. And I want to see their offense they're one of the few teams that I feel like they really need are one quarterback away from being like really, truly giant killers. You know, like Texas A&M, Notre Dame, you know, there's a couple that I think that are always kind of knocking on the door, but have always missed that quarterback that had that killer instinct and the ability to take over a game. And I want Tyler Buckner to be it. And I'll take a shot at him at 403.
I like it. I like it. I'm going to take JoJo Earl next, wide receiver at Alabama. Again, it's Alabama. They don't typically give true freshmen a lot of opportunity, so I'm fine with his relatively low production. Last season, you know, he caught 16 balls for 88 yards. Nothing great there. However, they did, or I'm sorry, those were punt returns, 16 punt returns for 88 yards. And the fact that they had him returning punts speaks to the trust factor at Alabama. He did catch 12 passes for 148 yards. So pardon the statistical error there, but man, the guy's dynamic with the ball in his hands. And I like punt returners at wide receiver. I mean, that's right. Not an easy thing to do. and he can make people miss and then accelerate and go. He's got a lot of skills. I know he's not huge coming in at around 5'9", 5'10", 170 pounds, but we've also seen that the NFL is willing to take chances on guys like that. So I'm willing to take a chance on JoJo Earl here at pick 40 overall.
I like it, man. He was kind of where I was going too. So that's a perfect sweet spot for him. And I went the same with kind of the same direction too. Marvin Mims, it has a lot of, has a similar size, 5'10", 180, big play guy. He had 32 catches, 700 yards, 22 yards a catch last year. And he's getting one of the, Dylan Gabriel at Oklahoma is just one of my favorite players, especially from a college standpoint. I don't know if he has much of an NFL pitch future, but I love the gunslinger mentality, the guy that will just push the ball and take shots. And that's Dylan Gabriel, and he's going to love Marvin Mims. I mean, Mims is a guy who I could see, I mean, just have an astronomical season, like push for the Biletnikoff type of season. As far as his skill set, he doesn't have breakaway speed, but they do use him a lot deep, obviously, with 22 yards a catch. He gets separation down the sideline with ease. I love his tracking, is locating the deep ball. He's definitely a guy who's more used on the outside and needs to develop a route tree. But for what he is and what he's got right now, I mean, he's got a something good to start with. He's really good at the one thing he's good at, but I want to see him develop more into being a whole, well-rounded receiver. And 5'10", 170, it's a little slight, you know, so at 5'10", that's a little bit. So I think he's going to have astronomical numbers this year, and I could see him having a huge rise in this process as well. So, 23 guys.
Yeah, guys like him that are fast and explosive and can make big plays consistently, which he has already proven to do in each of his two seasons, they get drafted early in the NFL. I mean, the NFL loves speed. So I think that's a great value pick here in the middle of the fourth round. I'm going to go with my last running back in tier one of the incoming freshmen, and that's Trevante Citizen, a running back at Miami. Really good explosiveness and speed. He can make a quick cut and go. Good vision. He'll run through arm tackles and a really nice contact balance. Miami's got, in my opinion, the opportunity as well. There's been a couple of guys there whose names I'm not going to be able to come up with that I've liked in the past, but they just haven't really taken hold of that position the way I wanted him to. Right. And I think this guy, Trevante Citizen, is the guy that can absolutely do that. So I'm grabbing him here at pick 42 overall.
Right. I'm not going to expound a lot on my pick. I feel like Cameron Ward is a guy we've talked about a lot, and it was good. We needed to, you know, in the Devy circles, he was a guy who we needed to talk about. We needed to pump up, and we needed to let Devy players know, you know, guys that don't follow it as much, this is a guy you have to watch for. Well, everybody's watching for him now. Like, I think in every supplemental draft I've gone, he's been like one of the top five picks. I mean, he's probably will not make it to the fourth round in most of these ones. Just a guy who's got a tremendous opportunity at Washington State to lead an offense that loves to move the ball and loves to push it. He's going to have some crazy stats. So obviously there's a chance for him to fall on his face, you know, because he came from Incarnate Ward and he's raw. I mean, he's only had two seasons as a quarterback, really. So there's a chance of that, but his upside is just like Deshaun Watson-ish. I mean, he's I hate using that as a comp because I hate Deshaun Watson now. but you know what I mean? You know, a guy that can be that damn good. So, yeah, I'm not going to expound that too much. I feel like of our 21 episodes, I think we've talked about them, 10 of them. So, yeah.
Well, to your point, though, like right. in a supplemental draft, like a Campus to Canton supplemental draft, and for those of you that don't play C2C, really quick, every year you have an NCAA draft, which is basically, you know, the incoming freshman class and then anybody that wasn't on a roster. And for sure, Cameron Ward is probably one of those guys, right? That he's not sitting on the roster. He'll be available. If you take away all of our 2023 and 2024 eligible guys that we've drafted already and just do the incoming freshman and then Ward, he's the seventh guy. So there you go. Mm-hmm. He's middle of that first round in like a C2C supplemental. And he's going to go that high in deeper Devy leagues as well, because he has the opportunity. So I think that's a great pick here. You're looking to hit the home run. I'm picking a guy next who I feel is maybe my highest riser, and that is tight end out of Ole Miss, Michael Trigg. And this guy is pure athleticism. You know, we're looking for the next Kyle Pitts, maybe too aggressively as Devy players, but he might be that guy. I mean, he is super athletic, and everybody, you know, was already excited about him, you know, coming into this spring when he transferred to Ole Miss. And then he had the spring game and went off. And now everyone feels like they're already validated. Like, yep, see, that's why we like the guy. And, you know, I don't blame him. And if you're in a tight end premium or a two tight end league, then I think, you know, him being the third tight end in our mock draft, he's absolutely worth that shot in a Devy league, even though I typically say shy away from tight ends in Devy. Not in a super flex or tight end premium. And, you know, again, if it's a later pick, it's worth taking a shot. So I love Michael Trigg at this spot.
Yeah, excellent. Yep, that's who I was going next. So you picked him at the right time. So that's why I put in the notes that I don't like you anymore. Anyways, nothing personal, Skip. Come on. All right. My next guy is, I'm going to go with the other 2025 quarterback that I really love. That's Drew Aller, Penn State quarterback. He's big. He's a big boy. 6'4", 230 pounds. Woo. That's a big 18-year-old. I want to run into him in a dark alley. Woo. but despite that size, he moves very well for his size. He's got a huge arm, tons of juice, tons of velocity, knows when to throw it hard, knows when to put it in touch. He is capable of scrambling. He is mobile enough, but he's definitely not as much of a threat to run. But he's just a guy who looks really polished for his age and his size. So what do I not like about him? There's really not much. I think he's got a lot of upside and a lot of potential. So I just want to see him go there. And unfortunately, I'm not as sold on Penn State as a place that can develop him into what he needs to be. But then maybe he hits the NFL like Josh Allen and needs a little bit of refinement. You know, so, but he's got that big arm and that size, and yeah, he's a lot to love about him. I'll take him in the fourth year anytime, and he's usually the first 2025 quarterback off the board. So I like him and Devin Brown a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know exactly what you don't like about him. You don't like that he's at Penn State and he's behind Sean Clifford.
Yes, like Sean Clifford's never leaving.
But yeah, I think this is a great pick. I'm surprised he fell this far. I maybe could have taken him earlier as well, but I'm going to go with another wide receiver that I really like, and that's Adonai Mitchell at Georgia, eligible in 2024. Again, I've said this about Georgia earlier. You know, they don't throw a ton of their wide receivers. They don't have the most, you know, talented, dynamic passing attack. So, you know, the stats aren't going to be sexy, and you got to look past that. 29 catches for 426 yards and 4 touchdowns. Those are good stats for an incoming freshman, especially in that offense. And he showed us some things in big games as well. And he was one of those guys that was making things happen basically as soon as he hit campus and started working with the team. I mean, they started talking about how this guy is just all over the place. He's making plays, making the quarterback's job easy. I love Adonai Mitchell. I want to get more shares of him. I think he is going to be one of those guys where a year from now we are loving him, and it's the one of those situations where the cat's out of the bag. So get him now before everyone else realizes what I'm telling you, and that Adonai Mitchell at Georgia is really good.
Yep. My guy's the same vein. I think Lorenzo Styles Jr. from Notre Dame is a guy you've got to get now too. I've been scooping him up everywhere I can, because I think with Buckner's ascension, he's got to have a go-to guy, and I think Lorenzo Styles is it. He's 6 foot, 180 pounds. He started to show a little bit toward the end of last year, including the bowl game. Was it a bowl game? Yep, against Oklahoma State, where he had 8 catches for 136 yards and a touchdown. We got to see that's the type of difference he can make in that offense. He's very natural catching the ball, tracks the ball well, good body control. As far as technicality, he's a very good receiver, good ability after the catch. He's very physical. I love physical wide receivers that aren't afraid to mix it up as a blocker. You know, like we'll just get into it. I love that. So he's a guy that I see could also have versatility to play inside and outside. And I think he's going to have a huge ascension this year as well. So that Lorenzo style right there, man.
I like it. All right. The final pick of our mock draft, pick number 48, I'm picking Evan Stewart, a incoming freshman wide receiver at Texas A&M. He was at the top of the wide receiver list, a consensus five-star. He's got wheels, 10.58 100. He's dangerous after the catch. He's shifty and quick. They used him a lot on bubble screens and end around runs. He has the speed to get deep. He's an explosive first step, cuts quickly to create separation, and can come back to the ball. Well, he adjusts to the ball when winning those contested catches, which is especially impressive because like he's not the hugest guy. I mean, he's listed at 6 feet, 175. Who knows if that 6 feet is accurate? It might be more like 5'10". I don't know. But the point is that the guy is dynamic. And I know we've had issues in the past at Texas A&M with wide receivers, but
yeah,
man, this guy is just filthy good. And I love Evan Stewart. And you know, the comp on 24/7 is Devonta Smith, and they've got him rated as a first round draft pick. So I'm willing to bet on a guy like Evan Stewart. You know, at this point, I think he's that dynamic, and I love the guy.
All right. I know we're running a little bit long on time, but Skip, is there one more guy you would really, really wish you could have had? No, I'm putting you on the spot.
Boy, that's a good question. Kind of looking really quick at my rankings, who we didn't pick. You know, another incoming freshman also at Texas A&M, Chris Marshall. Really like him. He does have the size at 6'3". I'm still a fan of running backs like Devin Neal at Kansas and Israel Abanaconda at Pittsburgh. So I think there are a couple names as well of guys. How about yourself?
Yep, I had Neal there also. Jaheim Bell, another guy I like a lot, tight end premium. Abanaconda, I love that name, man. Abanaconda, don't want none unless you got buns, hon. Huh? Do side bends or sit up. Well, that's not how
it goes. Shaq used to say it should be like Wakanda. Abanaconda forever.
I like it. All right, yeah, Neal was one of them. Neal was one. Bell was one. Ja'Cory Brooks. Man, there's a couple other names, but yeah, if you gave me one name, I kind of wanted to get Jaheim Bell in there, but.
All right. Excellent. All right. So we're going to keep track of this 4-round Devy mock. And then the next time we do this, what we're going to do is really compare how guys' values change and their rankings change. So it might be a while before we do another Devy mock. We've got other stuff on the docket, but we'll come back to this and say, okay, he was, you know, at pick 44 this time, where's he at now? So just so everyone knows, that's how we're going to use this information later. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Devy Big Board, part of the Rookie Big Board Network. We'll be back with more Devy Big Board next week, but be sure to tune in tomorrow to hear from our friends on the bonus board. For Dwight, my name is Skip. Everyone have an awesome time. Thank you for listening. Take care, everyone.